श्रीमद् भागवतम महापुराण की जय 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 श्री राधे। रस पंचाध्याय चैप्टर 29 थ्रू 33 ऑफ द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम रस लीला ऑफ राधा एंड कृष्ण वृंदावन टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 निशम्य गीतं तरणंगवर्धनं प्रजास्त्रिया कृष्ण गृहीत मनसा जग्मुरान्योन्यं अलक्षितोद्यमा सयत्र कान्तो जवलोलकुंडला। When the beautiful young damsels of Vrindavan heard the flute song of their beloved Krishna, romantic feelings rose in their hearts. Their minds were captivated by their beloved Krishna, and they all went running to Vamshivat, where Krishna was waiting. Under the full moon of the Sharad season, they were moving so quickly that their earrings were swinging to and fro. We're discussing this phrase, Grihita Manasa, and the whole line, the second line, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa. The gopis are there, the Brajastriya, the young coward damsels of Braj, and Krishna's there. The only name of the beloved, the Nayak, the hero that we have heard so far in four verses is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means God, the absolute truth. But what is his name? Of course, we understand that it's Krishna in Vrindavan. But now his name is introduced. The hero's name is Krishna. But this hero, Krishna, has Sahasranam, Gopal Sahasranam, Vishnu Sahasranam, thousands, Ananta, Ananta, Rupam, thousands of names, thousands of qualities, thousands of Leelas, Ananta Gunam, Ananta Leelam, Bhagavan. But this is Bhagavan. Krishna is Bhagavan in Vrindavan. Krishna is Bhagavan in Mathura and Dwarka. And Krishna is Bhagavan in Kurukshetra. Sri Krishna Vacha, the immortal teachings of Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It can be any of those Krishnas in his Nara Leela in Dwarka, Mathura, or Vrindavan. But this 10th canto, chapter 29-33, Raslila is Krishna and Vrindavan. But then Krishna and Vrindavan has so many names and so many bhajans describing Krishna and Vrindavan. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. The gopis in Barsana, they have pet parrots, Tota, and they feed them pomegranate seeds, the red juicy pomegranate seeds, and they train them. And their mothers are very happy to see how much interest that their daughters are taking in their parrots. And they're listening, oh, my daughter is teaching the parrot to say something and reinforcing his practice by giving him or her female parrot, giving her some pomegranate seeds to encourage her practice, like the music teacher may give a sweet to the student, or some praises, words of praise. Very good. You're learning very nicely. So what is that gopi teaching the parrot to say? Well, in the prema-filled heart of Bilva Mangala Thakur, these leelas are seen. And he says, she's feeding that gopi, that Brajaramani, that young girl, 10 years old, 11 years old. She's in her palace, she's in her house with her mother and father, maybe before marriage. And obviously, so she's feeding and saying, listen, oh Tota, oh Shuk, Suno, you say this, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. And Bilvamangala Thakur Stotram, and some of his shlokas, he's describing this, many leelas like this, small leelas, small description, but large leela. So she's feeding every morning, teaching, and the parrot, the tota, is practicing, go, go, bin, bin, binda, ma, 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 da, da, va, madava, govinda, damo, dara, madaveti. And gradually the parrot starts saying, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Ah, so nice. And that gopi relishes so much that Nam Sankirtan, Tota Nam Sankirtan, the parrot Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, names of Krishna in Vrindavan, not Krishna in Mathura, not Krishna in Dwarka, special names about Krishna in Vrindavan with special leelas packed inside, Damodar Krishna. There is no Damodar Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That same Krishna, who was Damodar in Gokul, is now trying to tie up his Arjuna. He's tying him up. Listen, perform your duty. Don't be attached to your bodies of your relatives. Give up your misconceptions. Give up your misplaced affections. Follow me. Follow Dharma. Pick up your bow. Because he was wandering away and wanted to take sannyas and wander off the battlefield to the forest. So Krishna had to tie him up and say, wait a minute, you're a Pandava, you're a Kshatriya, this is a Dharma, you have to fight for Dharma. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. These are all names of Krishna in Vrindavan. So here, Shukadeva Goswami says, Krishna, Rajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa, that the name, the primary and principal name of our lover, of our Nayak, the hero of this sacred, divine, transcendental love story, is Krishna. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Purnatam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Sarva Shaktimayi Sri Krishna. And why the word Krishna? Why isn't the hero introduced with other names, Madhav or Damodar or Gopinath, Lord of the Gopis? He's going to enjoy the Gopis and receive their love and their seva and their Rasalila. He'll be their Nath. He'll be their Prananath and their Premanath, their Gopinath. Radhakanta, he'll be the Radhakanta and the Gopikanta. Why Krishna? Because as Shukadev well knows and Vyas well knows, of all the names of Bhagavan, of all the names that one could use to describe Bhagavan, the word Krishna, this is the best name. This is the primary name. This is the most complete name to describe all the aspects of Godhead, all the aspects of God. Because God has aspects of enjoying, he has aspects of power, creation, destruction, maintenance, and relaxing and having leela. So we discussed before. So Krishna is that name which capsulizes and condenses and contains the maximum expression of Bhagavan, in this case Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the fullest expression of his majesty, his Aishwarya, and the fullest expression of his sweetness. Because Krishna means Karshan, Sankarshan. And Karshan means energy, attractive power. So that is the very energy which is holding the whole universe together. That's the Aishwarya, the majesty, the power. That attractive power between plus and minus, neutrons and protons, from the atom to the atmosphere, from the atmosphere to the ionosphere, to all the planets in their orbits, in this galaxy and that galaxy, the whole thing is being based, is moving and balanced and sustained by the force of Karshan, by power of attraction. And the center of all that attraction is God. There's one verse that says that, like pearls on a thread, Matak Parataram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Nanjaya Mayi Sarvam Idam Sarvam Sutre Mani Ganaiva. Sutre Manigana. Manigan, you have a group of pearls. Manigana means a group of gems. Sutre, they're strung on a thread. So there's so many pearls. It can be a long necklace or a short necklace. And the center part is a thread. Mayam Tatam. This whole Maya, all this creation, there's a common thread behind the creation. That's Karshan. That sutre is Karshan. Krishna. Krishna Karshan. Krishna. So that Krishna represents Krishna's Aishwarya. Krishna's unlimited power, grandeur, opulence, creative power, sustaining. He's created all this universe of millions of planets and thousands of galaxies. Brahmanda, koti, 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 Brahmanda. Brahmanda means universe. There's millions of universes with thousands of planets and nakshatras and galaxies within each one. That's the Srishti, Shakti, the power of creation of God. But then how to maintain it? Sutre Maniganaiva. Sutre Maniganaiva. Bhagavad Gita. It's all, he's that thread. If the thread is cut in a necklace and all the pearls scatter on the floor, if the thread is broken, you have a necklace, you break the thread. So if you remove God from the creation or from the maintenance of the universe, his power, his Karshan, all finished. This is Krishna. This word Krishna has this meaning of Karshan, of power, of integration, harmony, synthesis, unity, and maintenance. You don't find that meaning in the word Vishnu. You don't find that meaning in the word Ram or Shringa, Nishringa, only in Krishna. So the fullest expression of God's power and opulence and the best and clearest definition of Bhagavan, his power, his opulence of creation, sustenance and maintenance is in the word Krishna. But then, and Krishna means that power annihilates everything else. Krishna, na means to na, negative, nay, Krishna. That power of Sankarshan, anything that comes against that gets defeated. You try to defeat gravity. There's something called gravity, a force or power pushing things down. It's part of God's arrangement. You try to defeat it, it's very difficult. You get defeated. You can't, Karshan na, you cannot go against Karshan. If you throw an object up in the air, it'll be pushed back down. All your power, oh, let me throw this ball so high. Ooh, it goes up. And then Karshan pushes it down. Gravity, you've heard of the force of gravity? Have you heard that? And the spacecrafts, they launch into all their power and energy, the whole subtotal of human science, they can launch a satellite with enough energy to pierce that force of gravity, then into another atmosphere where there's no gravity. But then there's another Karshan working. This Karshan is working down gravity. There's another Karshan working going like this. You've heard of Panchapran? In this human body, there's Panchapran. There's also Panchapran in the universe. Some life airs up on, goes up and down, down. Then there's pran, apan, saman, udan, and vyan. Some go down, some go up, some go around. There's circular life errors in the body. Apan goes down. If your apan doesn't work, what you eat doesn't go down, if you understand my language. Apan. If you're apan vayu, if you have apan vayu rogue, then you cannot pass stool. What you eat does not go down and out. So that's the difficulty. So in the universe, yes, the microcosm, the macrocosm. The microcosm is the minutest matter you examine through the electron microscope. Microscopic reality. Then there's macroscopic reality. When you look through the telescope and the refractor telescope or whatever these famous telescopes, radar telescopes, and you gaze into the heavens and into the circles around Jupiter, all the planets and stars and sub-stars. Then there's, as we have five life errors working in the atom, there's five life errors working in the universe, there's five life errors working on everything in the universe. It's very obvious. You throw up, it comes down. What goes up must come down. What comes around goes around. What comes around goes around. This is a slang expression. You throw out bad things, and it comes back to you, bad things. You throw out aparad and envy and aparad come back. But the interesting thing in the Vaishnava realm, when you throw out envy and aparad at 50 kilometers, it comes back at 100 kilometers, twice the velocity. Because it has all your power of casting. When you cast aspersions, called casting, you cast aspersions or calumny or aspersions, which means blasphemy or offenses at someone, then you throw it at 50 kilometers, oh, you this, that. Then Krishna catches it with his karshan, Krishna karshan. He's acha, woo! And he throws it back and it comes 100 kilometers and you become the personification of those aspersions. You become that envy. You become that greed yourself. Is your envy, oh, this person like this. Then you become twice that much. This is a phenomenon we see in the Vaishnava world. Fools rush in where angels dare not. Jesus uses expression. It's in the Bible. Fools rush in where angels dare not. So an angelic devotee means sattvic devotee, self-controlled. He's not foolish. He does not offend Vaishnavas or acharyas or sannyasis or gurus or babajis or anyone. Never. If he's going to speak, he only says good. Lord Jesus said, if you're going to say anything about anyone other than God, then always speak good of that person. Because everyone has something good. Good looks. Oh, this person, this, that, the other thing. But actually, they look better than you do. But you can't say that because there's so many other things on your mind. Or this person is more wealthy than you. But you can't say that because there's other things on your mind. Envy of their wealth, envy of their beauty, envy of their knowledge, envy of their renunciation, envy of their accomplishment. This is the problem. Karshan, Krishna. So that power, that invincible Ajit Krishna, Achyuta Krishna, that Karshan, that Krishna, that power that can never be defeated, never falls down, invincible. Always once a winner, always a winner. Krishna. So that's one meaning of the word Krishna. Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa. So one side we have the Brajastriya, the Nayakas, the heroines. On the other side we have Krishna. So naturally, gopis are called in Sanskrit Abal, the Abala. Abal means no bal. Generally, a woman has a very tender form, not bulging muscles and physical power. She has mental power. She has heart power, no doubt. Just see how powerful the gopis are. Gopis are Abala, but they control Balaram Krishna. Krishna's Balaram. He's so powerful, Ajit. And the gopis are Abal. They have lotus, their arms are like lotus stem, the stem of a lotus flower, very thin and delicate. But their heart power, their love power is so great that Krishna's controlled. Prema Vashibhut. Prema Vashibhut. It means that Krishna is controlled by the love of the gopis. And most absolutely and completely and fully controlled by the love of the greatest gopi, Radha Rani. Prema Mayi Maha Bhav Srupini Radha. Krishna. But Krishna, Krishna, no power can destroy him. Nah. His Sankarshan, nah. No one can defeat. Never seen. But love conquers all. Everywhere and every sphere and all time periods, Kaladeshan Patra, we find that love is the ultimate power. Everywhere. Love reigns. Love above power, mercy above justice. Love above power, mercy above justice. This is the rule in the spiritual world. This is the rule in the material world. So this is the acharyas say, and it's quite obvious by the explanation of logic, experience, and science. We're showing even a scientific understanding of Krishna, Karshan. By science, by logic, reason, Shastra Praman, and Mahajanvani, Vaishnava Mahajanvani, and practical experience. Someone who chants the name of Krishna will feel so much power and so much sweetness. What an unusual combination, power and sweetness. Generally, power does not usually include the quality of sweetness. He may be a powerful, strong man, but he may not be very sweet, gentle, loving, kind, intimate, charming, sweet, and affectionate. But Krishna is. Because Krishna, the word Krishna, it also means, Krishna means attraction. One atom being attracted by the other one. Plus and minus are attracted. We have a phrase in English, have you heard? Opposites attract. That's the power of Karshan. That's the power of Krishna. Opposites means opposite genders attract opposite genders. Opposite atoms attract opposite atoms. Negative atoms attract positive atoms. North Pole, South Pole. The magnet works that way. So the man and woman are attracted to each other. What is the power of that attraction? What is that, a force? Very strong one. The power of attraction between man and woman is an invincible force, an unconquerable force. If you conquer that force, you've conquered birth and death. You conquer the force of attraction between man and woman, and redirect your attraction, your attractive potential, and your attractive nature as an Atma to Krishna. Because we say opposites attract. It's a very common phrase in America. Oh, my husband's chart is like that. And when you combine man and woman in Jyotishi, you don't try to combine similar charts. In this category, birds of a feather don't mix together. You marry different signs. This one has these strengths. So the more opposite they are, opposite and similar, the tighter the bondage, the tighter the connection is. And success of the marriage combination based on Jyotishi and Kundali, the science of the stars and planets. Of course, love is an important factor also. Opposites attract. Again, Krishna at work. So the power represented by Krishna is everywhere, from the atom to the universe, from the ant to the bird to the bee to the human being. The power of attraction. That's Krishna's power aspect, Aishvarya. omnipotent God. So Krishna is the bottom of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matar sarvam pravartate. Interesting point about opposites attract. We understand men are attracted to women. Women are attracted to men. But if you go down beyond the body and beyond the bone, beyond the flesh and bones, beyond the mind and beyond the buddhi, beyond the hankara, you get to Atma, the very eternal nature of us. We are Atma, eternal personal particles of divine ecstatic consciousness. And we also have a principle of attraction innate within us. And we are also of a polarity. So the Supreme Atma, the Sarvatma, the Supreme Atma is God, Bhagavan. And all women are attracted to men, naturally. And men are attracted to women. So all jivas, by identity, by actual identity, are prakriti. Jiva shakti. Tatasta shakti. Shakti means female. Have you heard shakti ma? Ma Durga. Shakti ma Durga. Shakta. Shakta worshippers. Worshipper of the goddess. Worshippers of the goddess, Shaktas. Every Jivatma, you and me and everyone in this world, is female, Prakriti. That is our polarity. That is our eternal identity. We are a negative integer. So now, who is the positive integer? The Purusha. In this case, we are feminine. The Jiva is feminine, Prakriti. You can say female or woman. And that male is the Purush Uttam, the Uttam Purush, the supreme male positive integer, and his opposite attraction combination is God and the Jivas. Paramatma and Atma. Bhagavan and Jiva. Bhagavan is the Purusha. Nityo Nityananam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Eko Bahusham. He is the supreme eternal male positive principle. The all-attractive Krishna. Because Krishna means Karshan, means all-attractive. He represents the original supreme male attractive potency. And we, he is the Ek, that one supreme Purushottam, male attractive power and potency and entity. And we are all the female Prakritis, Tatastha Shakti, Jiva Shakti. We're not called Jiva Bhagavan. We're not called Jiva Purush. We're called Shakti. This is in Shastras, in Upanishads, in Purana, and Shruti. The Anuchit, the Anujiv, Jiva Shakti. So when you go all the way down to the bottom line, if you just, in the early days of science, they were examining the world and saying, oh, there's earth and there's water. Reality is made of earth and water. Then they said, no, there's something called elements. Oh, different elements make up the world. The scientific theory of elements. Then they said, no, as knowledge increased or people became more understanding of the reality, well, there's more than elements, there's atoms. Oh, there's atoms. Oh, there's more than atoms, there's subatomic particles, neutrons and protons. Oh, there's more than neutrons and protons. There's neutrinos and quarks, and oh, there's more than that, and more and more and more, and finally ad infinitum, what's the final, where is the, you know, the buck stops here, what's the final point? Maybe it's consciousness. Some scientists, that after they study quantum mechanics until their brain splits in half, they study quantum mechanics until they go crazy, and they study astrophysics till they get headaches day and night. Then they say, well, maybe, possibly, there could be beyond matter consciousness, the anti-material particle consciousness, chit, beyond the atom, beyond the neutrino. But if we say that, that means that we, the scientists who really don't usually believe in God, are admitting that God, the inexplicable, entity, the origin of everything, that divine personality who is a substratum of every religion throughout the world, God exists. And that's a little hard for scientists to accept. But some broad-minded, more pious, thousands of scientists around the world are saying that the origin of everything is consciousness. Now let's explore the vast frontier of consciousness. There are articles in the leading scientific journals of the world, without mentioning them, about title Frontiers of Consciousness, the new science, the unknown frontiers of consciousness. What is consciousness? And the Vedas, Upanishads, Shrutis, and Smritis have all the answers. What is consciousness? What is the nature of consciousness? Surup Lakshana of consciousness, Tatastha Lakshana of consciousness, the actions and the qualities, everything. Because everything is consciousness, Atma, and the Supreme Atma is Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Ram, Vishnu. And gradually, the broadest-minded people, the most intelligent people, like the Einsteins and the Furlenheimers, and the great scientists of the last 50th century, the physicists and the most penetrating and exacting scientists on the face of the world from Italy, France, Russia, and America are all coming together in conferences in Chicago, Paris, Delhi, Calcutta, South America, and discussing consciousness. Physics, science, and consciousness. This is the title of their three-day meetings on the weekends. You can see anywhere in journals, seminars, symposiums. So people are starting to think, well, gee, maybe there is God, maybe there is consciousness. And the seers and saints of India have been preaching this for millions of years. The origin of everything is consciousness, the supreme consciousness, Krishna. Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna. So Krishna means all these things. He's that Karshan, he's that supreme, he's that opposites attract. So everyone, if that's a principle that opposites attract, that everywhere, no one denies, anywhere in the world, everyone will say, do you agree that opposites attract? Yeah, I agree. That woman attracts my senses. That man attracts my senses. Opposite genders attract. So did you realize, do you ever realize that actually you are female, you're Prakriti, Shakti, Tatastha Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and you have a boyfriend, and your boyfriend's name is God. So every man, every woman on the planet has one boyfriend, one Purusha, one husband, one lover, God. Well, that is called self-realization, Atma-tattva-gyan. That is reality. If someone says, no, men and women are not attracted to each other, I don't believe in that. If someone's preaching that, if someone goes around the world, no, opposites don't attract each other. Men don't attract women. Where do you see anywhere in the world men attracting women? And where do you see anywhere in the world women attracting men? Do you see that in India? You don't see that, do you? Is it right? No men are attracted or interested or curious about women. Sure, right? Interview 1 billion men. What will they say? I love women. You interview the other 1 billion ladies. I love men. Acha. Now you interview the same 2 billion Indians and say, do you love God? Oh, God. What is wrong? You're crazy? Don't you believe in opposites attract? Men attract women, women attract men? Yes. Well, you're opposite to God. You're Prakriti, he's Purusha. You're Anuchit, he's Vibhuchit. You're Anuchit, minute consciousness, he's Vibhuchit, supreme. You're Anuanand, he's Anantanand. Your Atmanand, he's Paramatmanand. Your Atma, he's Sarvatma. He's the Atma of all Atmas, soul of all souls, king of all kings, Deva of all Deva, Deva Deva Jagatpate, Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki jai. So if you say that, you're crazy. You're spiritually ignorant. You're in tamagun. You're foolish. You're bewildered. You're an illusion, mo. Just like if you go to Indians or Americans, oh, are you attracted to women? No, who needs women? I just play cricket all my life. I just play cricket for my whole life and I'm happy. Acha, you're happy till you turn 18. You're happy till you turn 20 years old. Then, okay, maybe forget that. Hi, what's your cell number? You find a new game to play. You put down your cricket racket and your mask and your knee pads, knee protectors, and then you put on some different track shoes and start running on a different track. Looking for a mate. Shari.com. Bharat Matrimonials. BharatMatrimonials.com. Shari.com. Find one today.com. Get the girl of your choice.com. com.com.com.com. Lust.lust.lust. Com means lust. So it's Bharat Matrimonials.com. It's all about com. Every website is called com because it's all about lust. Every website is called soandso.com. Am I right? C-O-M is pronounced com in English. K-A-M means, in Hindi, K-A-M means calm, desire. Soandso.com. So the whole internet is based on lust. Which is basically true. Lust for this product, lust for that product, lust for this book, lust for this e-reader, lust for this computer gadget, lust for this camera, lust for this woman, man. Isn't it? Very ironic. .com. But Krishna, because he means power, but Krishna means attraction, but the power of attraction, the attractive power of love. Love above power. So Karshan means Sankarshan, gravity, all these things we describe. So that's one aspect of the word Krishna to describe Bhagavan Iti Ta Ratri. The first verse of 29:10 is Bhagavan Iti Ta Ratri. On those nights of the Sharad season, then Bhagavan, some Bhagavan, he appreciated the full moon and he played his flute. And called someone. Which Bhagavan? Now it's told in this verse 4. Krishna. The all-powerful Krishna. But the word Krishna, being the best name of God, the most complete name of God, more complete than any other name of God. It also includes power, but then includes sweetness, intimacy, and love. Because Karshan, no force or power compels one or moves one or binds one or controls one or saturates one or inundates one or satisfies one or fulfills one than the power of love. And that supreme power of love and that supreme lover is Krishna. Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna in Vrindavan, Vrindavan. Krishna. So this is describing that personality of Godhead who could seize the gopis' minds. Grihita manasa. And that, as the gopis' minds, as this shloka says, this pada says, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita manasa. The gopis are living in Vrindavan, Brajastriya. That beautiful and chanting land of play and joy. Their minds became captivated by Bhagavan, yes, but by Krishna. Because his love, what is the nature of his love? All forms of Bhagavan have prem, and they distribute and exchange love with their devotees. Vishnu prem, Vishnu premi bhaktas, Ram prem, Ram premi bhaktas. Sita, Hanuman, Dasarath, they're all exchanging love with the Lord. But the love of Krishna is supreme because Krishna's love has the quality of being Krishna, all attractive, because Krishna's love is expressed through all the five rasas, Dasyarati, Shantarati Prem, Dasirati Prem, Sakirati Prem, Vatsalirati Prem, Madhurayarati Prem, Parakiya Bhav Madhurayarati Prem, Swakiya Bhav Madhurayarati Prem, conjugal amorous love as a husband, amorous conjugal romantic love as a lover without being married or enjoying the wives of others in Vrindavan with the Gopavadus, the gopis, the wives of the gopas. And then all the gonarasas fully expressed, the seven secondary rasas, hasyaras, adbhutaras, vibhatsaras, and then bhayaras, so many rasas are there. So Krishna, only Krishna and no other form of Bhagavan is described as Rasaraj Bhagavan. Rasaraj Bhagavan Sri Krishna and Rasavati Radha. And the Ras Leela. Ramchandra has no Ras Leela. Vishnu has no Ras Leela. Unheard of, impossible, an impossible feat or Leela. It does not fit that name of Ram or Vishnu. It does not fit that presentation of Godhead. But Krishna is the completest form. That's why Krishna is called Purnatam Bhagavan. Purna Uttam. Vishnu and Ram are Purna Bhagavan. Complete, full in love, power, omnipotency. But not as full as Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. These are the words of Vyasa Muni and Shukadev Goswami and Bhagavat Puran and all the great rishis. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna means the attraction of love. He can attract everyone. How? Because of his incredible beauty, his incredible sweetness and charm and affectionate. He extends his affection down to the most unqualified, undeserving creature. He gives his love and the greatest propensity, the greatest degree of love and intimacy of love to the lowest level, to a witch who comes to kill him. 6-day-year-old defenseless baby in Gokul, Nandalal, 6 days old, just lying on his back. She snatches him, flies in the sky to kill him. And Krishna loves her so much and extends his love so much and so deeply and unlimitedly that he turns that witch into his mother. He turns that murderess into his mother. Datri in Goloka. That's an incredible display of love and oceanic compassion. Not found. Read Ramayana, read Ramcharitamanas. You will not find such an example of love and compassion, karunya and prema. Someone comes to surrender and present themselves, beautiful demigoddess, the sister of Ravana. Ravana is a Brahmin, handsome figure, only one head. If he's fighting, he has austerities. He can have 10 heads, more weapons, more intelligence to outwit you. But when he was conquering kingdoms and kings like Indra, he had one beautiful form and head, powerful body, one of the most beautiful, handsome men in the universe, Ravana in Treta Yuga. And the queens and ladies of other kings throughout the universe and demigods, they willfully went with him when he conquered their husbands and kidnapped them because of his power. And his sister is less? Shuparnaka. So beautiful. Practically, when she went to Ram and offered herself, "You're a king. Your father is Dasarath. Your father has 365 queens." This is a fact. Powerful king, Dasharath. One queen for every day. And I am coming to be your second one. Am I not as beautiful as Sita? And it was she loved and promoted and accepted by Ram? Hardly. It's well known what happened to her. It's Leela. But that same person came into Krishna's Leela, Shupurnaka. Who was that in Krishna Leela? Trivakra. Trivakra means she was bent in three places because she was chopped in three places. Where was she chopped by Lakshman? One, two, three. Nose, ear, and ego. If you chop a woman's face, you've killed her, have you not? That's also a chopping. You may chop my finger, but if you chop off my head, I'm dead. Krishna's so loving, so compassionate. When that same person, Shupurnaka, came to offer herself to Ramchandra, her request was denied. Because Ramchandra's Maryada Purushottam Ek Patni Brata Keval only Sita. Or, and she argued, she's a Brahmani, she's a princess, the sister of Ravana, Shupurnaka. How is it you only have one wife? Your father Dasharath has so many wives, hundreds of wives. Can't you accept at least two? No. Lakshman, dispose of this Rakshasi. And then, what happened? But when she came in Krishna Leela as Trivakra, hunchback, Krishna made her beautiful, more beautiful than Lakshmi Devi. And then she said, oh, my beloved, oh, my pyar, oh, my lover, please give me your hand, accept mine. And Krishna said, yes, yes, Kubja, I will come to your house in future days that I'm staying in Mathura and satisfy your all whims and desires. This is Krishna's love. So Krishna means the supreme lover. So see, Krishna means power. Krishna means love, love and power. The supreme power is exhibited by Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And the supreme love and prema is exhibited by Swayam Bhagavan Krishna and no other form. So we see by these examples that Krishna's love is the greatest. So now the hero of the Ras Leela, the love story, is introduced as Krishna, that powerful Krishna. So much power, he could capture the minds of the gopis. And no one else could capture the minds of the gopis. No other form of God has such power to capture the mind or the life like Krishna. You see, oftentimes, people that worship Vishnu or people that worship Ram, sometimes they take up the worship of Krishna. And they become very interested and attracted to worshiping Krishna. But once one is a worshiper of Krishna, Gopal or Brijendranandan or Kishore Krishna or Vamshidhari, he never gives up the worship of Krishna to worship any other one. Especially yogis and worshippers of Brahman, oftentimes they come to worship Krishna. My Gurudev was preaching in America. He would meet many followers of the Raj Yoga path, many teachers. They were even teachers of Ashtanga Yoga. And they would start reading Bhagavatam, Dasama Skanda, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then they would become very attracted to the Bhakti Marg and lose their interest in the Gyan Marg. Krishna would captivate them. Krishna would capture them and enchant them with his leelas, Makanchor, Julan, Rast Leela. And then they would go to their gurus, their Indian gurus whom they met in America and Europe. And some of these, my guru bhais who eventually joined this Krishna Bhakti movement, Krishna consciousness movement, they would have discussions with their gurus and acharyas, who were Indian acharyas of Gyan Marg and Yoga Marg, and say, listen, Guruji, we're very interested in the Bhakti Marg, in the Bhakti path of Bhakti described in Gita. In fact, when we first started pursuing a life of transcendence and self-realization, we were about 14 years old, and looking towards the East, looking for towards yoga and all these interests. We started studying Ashtanga Yoga, then Raj Yoga, and we met some gurus. And one guru had an international movement which still exists today in a very powerful way. This movement has universities and in India and all over, they have hospitals overseas. Very big, powerful movement to bless the world with their particular line of teachings. And the acharya, guru, and founder of that movement gave me his Bhagavad Gita, the first Bhagavad Gita I ever read. And I was so very beautiful tikkas and explanations. And I read the book and I understood about Bhagavad Gita, that the goal of Bhagavad Gita, the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, is yoga and consciousness and realizing the supreme nirvana and divine consciousness. This was my understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And then I received another Bhagavad Gita, and I read that and I said, wait a minute, my Guruji gave me a Bhagavad Gita and it talked about karma and yoga and dhyan yoga, and that's all. And I understood that, and I was studying those teachings of Raj Yoga, Gyan Yoga, and doing meditation, chanting particular mantras and different types of pranayama. But I received this other Bhagavad Gita from some gentleman with some Urdhva Pandra Tilak on his forehead and some choti, some shika. And I read that and I said, Are, your Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, Atara Adhyaya, and my Guruji has a worldwide movement and so famous everywhere. His Bhagavad Gita, my Guru gave me, only has 6 chapters. I thought Bhagavad Gita only had 6 Adhyaya, 6 chapters. And my new found friend said, no, Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters. 6 chapters are about Gyan Yoga, Karma and Gyan. And 6 chapters are about Bhakti. 6 chapters are about Karma Yoga. 6 chapters are about Bhakti Yoga. And 6 chapters are about Gyan Yoga. There's 3 yogas. Huh? I didn't know. I thought there was only this Gyan Yoga, which includes the Ashtanga Yoga method. That's what my guru taught me. So, and then I went to my guru, I said, I'm reading your Gita, but I read this other Gita, and many other people like this have also come. And I see there's something called bhakti, and there's a personal God, and you can love that God, and serve him, and live eternally with him, and love. And I was, of course, before I took up this Gyan Raj Yoga path, I was a Christian, we believed in God the Father and the Son of God and love of God. And so then the Guruji was very nice. He said, if you want to learn about bhakti, if you want to learn about devotional love of God, then I suggest that you go learn from Swami Bhaktivedanta. You should learn from Swami Bhaktivedanta, who later I came to know was Nityalila Pravishtom Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who became my divine savior and my sadguru, my diksha guru and my teacher, Nitya guru. Myself, although I was not a teacher of that, I was a student, and many others after me that were actually students of that line of yoga, they inquired from their teacher, and he told them, If you want to learn the Bhakti Marg path and worship Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you go to Bhaktivedanta and you read the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So this is a very interesting phenomenon in the material world, that there are many Bhagavad Gitas. There are about 700 editions of Bhagavad Gita in English with various commentaries and tikkas. And even one Bhagavad Gita that only has 6 chapters. So this is a very amazing and variegated world. The point is that Krishna is so attractive. The word Krishna to describe Godhead. This verse is Brajastriya Krishna. Then what happened? Grihita Manasa. That Krishna has the power to attract the minds of yogis. This is what my example is telling you. Has Krishna, that form of Godhead, who is supreme power and supreme love and beauty and intimacy and sweetness and affection, he has the power to attract Gyan yogis and teachers of Gyan and Raj yoga to become bhaktas and follow this higher path of bhakti, divine love, devotional service, the bhakti marg. So in this way we see, and Krishna's power, it's saying that Krishna grihita manasa, that Krishna had the power to attract the minds of the gopis and not anyone else, not any other form of Godhead. So we would like to tell a leela, a pastime about Krishna, the power of this Krishna, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa. There's a very beautiful pastime or leela, Krishna leela, with the Brajastriya and Krishna and another form of Godhead. That form of Godhead is most popular throughout the Shrutis. When one is talking about Bhagavan, generally, the word Vishnu is mentioned there. This particular leela of the Brajastriya and Krishna, which illustrates the fact or the tattva, this line of this pada, 29.4, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa, that Krishna and Krishna alone, his life, his leela, his teachings, has the power, to attract everyone in the universe, from the yogi to the jnani, what to speak of the gopis. And Vishnu is so powerful. And Vishnu is so attractive. But Krishna, and in Padma Puran, this pastime is described and often cited by the Mahajanacharyas. Once, in the spring season, Vasant Ritu, most beautiful welcome season of the year, because here in Vrindavan, Varsana Nandagram, the winters are very cold and harsh. And after the winter, there's a break, there's relief with Vasant. And everyone celebrates the arrival of spring season. The sorso fool blossoming in the fields everywhere, yellow lotuses, yellow mustard flowers, not just yellow, but green and yellow, a mixture of greenish yellow, very lively and very attractive, all over Braj Mandal. And mango blossoms, many beautiful things appear. And people feel so happy and elated. So the Brajastriya, the gopis and Krishna, they also felt very happy. Ah, Vasant Ritu has come. Spring is here. To celebrate the spring season, everyone in Barsana, in Vrindavan, they play Holi. You've heard of Holi. It's a famous festival of colors, a festival of joy, a festival of relief from the winter, and a festival of love. When the men and women of Braj Mandal, they play holy, the men will come up to each other and look at, the men will look in the face of another Brajvasi, holy hey. And then the other one will say, yes, holy hey. And say, Prem se. And then the man will take some color, some gulal, or keshar, or gulab, crushed rose petals, all natural things in time of Krishna, and rub so lovingly on the friend's face. Nanda will rub on Upananda's face. Rishabhanu Maharaj will rub on the face of his brother Chandrabhanu, like this and like that. Then the brother will reciprocate. And when they say that, they'll say, Prem se, Prem se. Then they will embrace. Or the ladies will rub. Then the pitchkaris are syringes. And they'll squirt colors. And music will be played. Special ragas. Holy ragas. Great celebration of spring. Colors, love, music, dancing, exchanges, warmth. The warmth of the colors. Pink and purple and yellow and green. Holy. Ho, ho, holy hey. Shh. Shh. This is Braj. Leela. Krishna plays holy with the gopis. The gopis on one side and the gopas on the other. The choris and the choras. Krishna with his syringe. Flanked by Srinam and Subal. And Madho Mangal jumping and dancing, making funny faces. On the other side, Radhaji, Lalita Vishaka, invincible opponents. And the music, beautiful. And so much fun and laughter, color, psh, oh, psh. And then, that's in the daytime. But the feelings of love and the mood of sporting and the mood of Leela goes on day and night. So in the daytime you play holy, and at nighttime there is Ras. Ras Leela. There is Ras Leela. And then Krishna invites the Gopikas. Are Gopikas, come for the Ras Leela. The Vasant Ras. We will all meet at Govardhan and Punchari in the Rasastali at the very tip of Govardhan, and we'll dance through the groves and in the Rasmandal of Govardhan, and we'll bathe in Chandra Sarovara, and we'll watch the full moon in the sky at Chandra Sarovara and relax in the kunjas nearby. Please, you come. Krishna invites them all to come. And they gather in the Ras. Vasant Ras. Vasant Purnima. This is Maharas dance in Sharad Purnima. But I'm describing this Leela, Padma Puran. Vasant Purnima. They're dancing. And Krishna thinks, let me play a game. The Ras Leela is fun. It's Kailan. Play Rasa Krita. But then Krishna wants to play another game with the gopis to heighten the fun, to increase the happiness and joy of love. So he decides, now I will play Luka Luki. Luka Luki. I will play hide and seek. I will slip away from all the gopis and play hide and seek. I will hide from them. They will have to look and search for me. So Krishna left the gopis. He wandered in the forest under the moonlight. Came to a very dense grove, bower, so many trees and bushes and kunjas. And he hid there, hiding secretly from all the gopis. Hare, Dalita, Shyam Sundarji. Oh, where's Pyariji? Where is he gone? Where's our Priyatam? I don't know. He was here. We were just dancing with him. Then poof, he disappeared. Where is he gone? Hare, oh, come on, Jaunge. Let's look for Krishna. So they gathered, they collected in groups. The Surit Sakis and the Paksha Sakis, all moving together in groups, looking, hey, Shyam, oh, Priyatam, Priyatam kaham. They were not crying in lamentation, not crying vilap. They were somewhat laughing and somewhat, oh, Shyam, where are you? You're playing hide and seek. Please, show yourself to us. Enough is enough. We want to dance more. Then the group of Sakis is moving, coming closer to the forest, and Krishna is watching them. He's not playing his flute. He's quiet. Very, very chup. Very, very chup. He's alone, hiding in the kunj, bending down, takes off his peacock feather, hiding. Oh, the gopis, some gopis are coming. They're going to find me and discover where I'm hiding. I must disguise my identity. I must appear in another form of myself. I am Sarvavatari Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. All the avatars are within me. All the Ananta Rupam Vishnu are within me. Ah, I will appear before them as Vishnu. They won't know it's me. Then Krishna manifested four arms. Chaturbhuj Narayan, Shankh, Gada, Padma, Chakra. And the gopis are coming close. Ha! Gopis, look. They go. There's Krishna in the kunja in the bower. I see his beautiful glossy dark blue skin. I see his beautiful hair, lotus eyes. Let's go. We found him. Ha ha. Go quickly, jaldi. And they run. And Krishna's there with four arms. Oh, it's not our Shyam Sundar. It's not our Krishna. It's not our Gopinath. It's Vishnu. Narayan, Narayan. The gopis fold their hand. Narayan, no more Narayan. No more Narayan. Listen, Suno. Narayan, Narayanji, Vishnuji, have you seen Krishna? Which way did our Krishna go? I don't know. Look for him. So the gopis quickly leave. Mildly, slightly, they showed some respect to Narayan. They were not attracted to Vishnu in the least. Not interested. Some respect. And they went their way searching. Definitely, Brajastriya, Vishnu, nay, Grihita Manasa, nay, Grihita Manasa. This verse is saying, Brajastriya, Krishna, Grihita Manasa. That Krishna captured their mind and only Krishna. Only Krishna's life, only Krishna's lila, only Krishna's shikshan teachings can attract everyone, especially the gopis. So Krishna's, I fooled the gopis with my disguise as Vishnu. They didn't know that it's actually me. This is Radhaji, my Priyaji is coming with Lalita and Vishakha. I will fool them as I fooled the other gopis. I bewildered them and hoodwinked them. So they're coming. Sham kahan, priyatam kahan. Ha! Hey, Swamini. Hey, Shri Radha, look. There, I think I've seen... There, Lalita said. There's Krishna in the distance. Look. See? And that Keli Kadamba Kunja. All those Kadamba trees there, I think he's there. Yes. Let's go. Shh. Go quietly. We have to sneak up on him. We don't want him to discover our approach or he'll run away. Gopis are very surreptitiously, carefully walking, moving through the forest like a cat moves. Very carefully, walking step by step, lightly, gingerly, not to make any noise with the leaves on the ground of the forest. Gentle and cat-like and like a billy walks, very quiet. And they come, and Krishna... Radhaji, Lalita, Vishakha, they come before Shyam. But now he's disguised and camouflaged his identity as Vishnu, Narayan. He fooled the other gopis. And surely he can fool these gopis also with his false presentation as Vishnu. Radharani is shy. She's Lajeshwari Radha. She's Laja. Very shy and meek. She will not see the face of another man. She'll not gaze into the eyes of another man other than her husband or her beloved Krishna. When she moves through the footpaths of Barsana or Yavat, she covers her face fully with her chunari. Her chunari. Her veil looks to the side at the ground as she's moving. And when she gets in the forest and there's no men there, only her gopis, then she lifts her chunari, starts searching for Shyam. But this is Narayan, Lakshmipati Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi Devi. Someone else's husband. She stays behind one tamal tree, Radharani. Covers her face. Lalita and Vishakha, they approach Narayan. And Radharani is watching. How is this Vishnu here? How is this Narayan here? In the forest of Vrindavan? She's quiet. Lalita and Vishakha approach Narayan and say, Narayan, namaste. Namaste, Narayan, dandavat. And they fold their hands. Have you seen our Shamsundar? Have you seen Krishna? He's like this. But why Krishna was disguised and impersonating and disguised as Vishnu? Radharani was standing quietly, invisibly behind the tamal tree. And a gentle fragrance, a gentle breeze, Dira Shamir, was blowing through the forest, was passing over Radharani's divine form and through her beautiful clothing, her Nilambara sari, her blue sari, Lahingra, her dress. And that fragrance was carrying the beautiful aroma and Saurabh of Radharani's body. Kasturi, Padma, Lotus, Musk, Chandan. So sweet, so attractive, so intoxicatingly beautiful. And Krishna's like this in front of Lalita Vishakha, saying, I really don't know where your Krishna is. Then Krishna suddenly smelled that fragrance, Radhaji's Saurabh. Krishna disguised as Vishnu. And then Vishnu's arms started trembling. And his upper lip started trembling. Radharani was hiding behind the tamal tree, watching. Why is Vishnu, his bhuja, his chatur bhuja, they're trembling? His face is trembling. It looks like the vikar transformation of changes due to love. Ashta sattvic vikar, prema vikar. And then she thinks, Radharani feels in her heart, I don't think this is Vishnu. I have my doubts. Vishnu is so powerful, so self-controlled, so dhira. But he's trembling. His eyes are widening. His nose is flaring. Smelling that fragrance. Is it my fragrance that is affecting him? Is it my Saurabh or Gandha? And she feels somehow, this is not Vishnu. This is my Krishna. Let me find out. So then she steps out of the tamal tree from her cover. And she walks towards Vishnu, who is Krishna disguised. And she looks and says, I don't think you're Narayan. You're Krishna. And then Krishna, when he sees Radharani, her prabhav, her prem prabhav, her sweetness, her delicateness and beauty, then his forearms disappear and he becomes Tribhanga and he reaches out and embraces Radharani. And Radharani discovers Krishna's hiding place. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. This is the Leela of Krishna trying to disguise himself. He could not fool Radharani because Radharani's love is so great that she controls Krishna by her love. And by controlling Krishna, she controls the entire universe. Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha. It's a very nice pastime to describe how only Krishna, Brajastriya Krishna Gurhita Manasa, only Krishna, this form of Bhagavan, can fully captivate and enchant and attract the mind of the gopis who are the greatest devotees of the Lord, but also us. We are also aspiring devotees of the Lord. And now our minds are Kamdev Grihita Manasaha. Kamdev, that god of material lust and desire and craving and wanting and lacking and needing, he is Grihita Manasaha. He has seized our minds, captivated our minds, controlled our minds, conquered our minds. So there's another god of love, not lust, has the same name. So one is an imposter and one is real. The material Kamadev, the material god of material romantic love is called Kamadev. And Krishna is the transcendental Kamadev, the god of not material romantic love, which is actually lust or desire. Personal, selfish, individual desire, propelled by lacking, propelled by wanting and needing, and ultimately ends up with exploiting someone to fulfill our desires and to satisfy our needs and fulfill our lacking and wanting. But the god of love and fulfillment, Krishna, Purna Bhagavan, that Bhagavan that makes us complete. That Purna Bhagavan Kamadev, that form of Kamadev, who is the god of romantic love, transcendental romantic love. Madhurya Mayi Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. He has the power, the full power, by his life, his leela, his teachings, his sweetness and charm, his leelas. How many people are spending their days and nights painting Vishnu leela, singing about Vishnu leela, reading about Vishnu leela, making movies about Vishnu leela and dramas? Not very many. And how many people are making so many paintings and singing so many bhajans and making movies about Ram Leela? There's the famous movie Ramayana, as we know. Wonderful movie describing the teachings and pastimes of Ramachandra. But are they making cartoons of Ram Leela? Yes, also. One Japanese production company made a famous, animation. It's not a cartoon, really. It's animation of Ram Leela. They spent something like $60 million to make it. It's quite good, with English subtitles or Japanese or any language. Ramayana, whatever it's called, I don't know. But by far, if anyone objectively analyzes or compares, Krishna Leela in Vrindavan is the most often and it's the most popular Leela in the world. There are movies about Krishna Leela. There are animations about Krishna Leela, very popular animations produced by the biggest companies in the world and distributed worldwide. And there are so many paintings and bhajans of Krishna Leela, which are sold in the millions of copies in English and in Hindi and Sanskrit. So by far, Krishna, this form of Bhagavan, Krishna, his leelas in Vrindavan are so captivating and so attractive and so beautiful that they have the power to grihita manasa, sublog grihita manasa, captivate, enchant, attract the minds of all men, all people, sublog, sublok, all the people of all the planets and all the countries. Russian people are reading about Krishna, as I told in earlier classes. So popular. If you were to take a vote, a poll, the Gallup poll, who is the most popular Indian god in the world today? Who do you think would win the poll? Do you have any idea? Krishna. Gopal. This is, of course, I'm of that team. So it's not a subjective view, it's an objective view. Yes, Krishna is the most popular Lord controlling my life. Yes, I'm a Krishna Bhakt, at least aspiring, trying to be a devotee of Krishna, a sadhaka, a practitioner. And yes, there are millions of Ram Bhakts. And yes, there are millions of Vishnu Bhakts. But objectively, by survey, by science, by facts and statistics, Krishna is the most popular god in the world. And Krishna is the most perfect name to fully describe all the possible, conceivable aspects of the complete definition of Godhead, of the complete definition of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is fully, unlimitedly powerful. Krishna meets all the criterion of a fully, unlimitedly powerful Godhead. And the Absolute Truth is fully, unlimitedly sweet and full of love. And Krishna meets the criterion of being the most perfect and unlimited expression of that love and sweetness and beauty of Godhead, by far, as this one pastime shows in a small way. But this is the point why Shukadev Goswami is using the word Krishna here, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa, not Madhav Grihita Manasa, not Damodar Grihita Manasa, not Gopinath Grihita Manasa, not Govinda Grihita Manasa. Although these are all Krishna's names, Brajanam, Brajapremnam of Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Brajapremnam. But in the word Krishna, in the name Krishna, It includes Damodar, includes Madhav, everything. All names are included. That's why there's a whole Sandarbha, a spiritual book written by Sri Jiva Goswami, all about the name of Krishna. How Krishna is the supreme name and form of Godhead. I believe it's called the Bhagavat Sandarbha. So now we're just finishing this phrase and discussing this idea of Grihita Manasa. And we covered different points, and we had mentioned yesterday in the class about Grihita Manasa. One meaning is self-forgetful. We gave examples of self-forgetful. How the gopis, they would forgot their surroundings, they even forgot their own identity. They were so much absorbed in Krishna's pleasure and happiness. And he so much fully captivated them that they no longer even possess their own minds. Sometimes we see in the material world, someone gets very absorbed in their activity. They may be reading a book in their room, or they may be nowadays on the computer, working on their computer or surfing on internet. They're really attentive and they're really absorbed, so much so that they lose touch with the outer world. They don't even hear someone's voice. They don't even feel what's happening on in the surroundings of their own house or room. They're totally, what we say, locked into their what they're seeing and reading in a book, or what they're writing, or what they're more often doing is looking at the computer, for example. And they're really attentive. They're so much one-pointed on that. Their whole mind seems to be seized and focused on that. The mother comes in and says, "Oh, so-and-so, come and take your dinner." And she says it in an audible voice that ordinarily one could hear. Person doesn't even hear it. There's so much absorbed in reading or computer working or whatnot. "Your dinner is ready." And the person is obviously hungry. It's been many, many hours since they last eat. It's time to eat. But they forget. They lose contact with it because of absorption. The mother might say, "Hello, listen, so no, your dinner is ready. It's getting cold. Come now." "Huh? Huh? What? What?" People often have this experience. What happened? Someone said something? Did I hear something? "Yes, I'm standing here for 5 minutes calling you for dinner." "Oh, I didn't hear you." Have you ever had this experience? It happens. We get absorbed. We don't even hear someone loudly calling our name because we're preoccupied. So that's a type of absorption. That's a type of forgetting the environment or even those around you. Maybe even your house is on fire and you're not even aware of it because your awareness is so much stolen or fixed or captivated or riveted on some other idea or activity that you don't... Hey, wait a minute. When you lose your... You refocus, hey, it smells like a fire. Something's burning. And then you take... Your attention goes there. So the people can say that someone's really dedicated to some activity. They really lost themselves in some activity. Oh, this person is so immersed in this welfare work. They've lost themselves in this activity. They totally immerse themselves in helping others. But do they actually forget their own identity? Do they forget their name? Do they forget their own basic duties in life? They forget their family members? They forget their even basic qualities that they possess and operate out of and express as women or men or human beings? Hardly. Never. They become self-forgetful. Well, the gopis are described, Grihita Manasa means self-forgetful. And this is the power of the attraction of God, that one can become so attracted to Krishna like the gopis. Krishna, Grihita Manasa, he can forget everything. He can even forget the world. Like sometimes people become fully dedicated to God and they meet their old friends and the first thing their friends say to them, "Have you forgotten us? You have not called us for so long." Some social friends or school friends or sports friends, they would play sports together. "All the time I call your house, your mother says you're reading Shastra, don't disturb. or you're doing your bhajan, chanting your mala, or you're in the temple, you're doing your puja, or you're visiting a temple. Have you forgotten us? We're your old friends. So yes, you may call them, yes, I guess I forgot you because I'm remembering God and I'm more attracted there and more interested in godly activities and spiritual activities than ordinary sports and fun and play, somehow or other. My mind, my senses, my life's interest has been captured there and focused there. And this is a type of grihita manasa. And Krishna has this power to really, as we say, turn around someone's life, spin them around and change them. That's why people often say in the West, when a person is, India is full of Hindus and Hinduism and Hindu paths of yoga and meditation and temples and so many things. But America is only Christianity and churches and priests and synagogues and Jewish people and the rabbis. Not that much, don't meet any sadhus, and no one has temple rooms in their houses. And religion is part of life, but not life itself, and a very small part of life. So then when someone from that background, a Western person, takes up a Hindu religion, changes his dress and his food habits and his reading matter and his activities and his speech and his prayers and his focus and his ishtadev and everything, then the people say, what happened to you? Have you gone crazy? You've forgotten your religion, you've forgotten your culture, you've forgotten your food habits, and you've forgotten your cuisine and your family tradition. So in one sense, we have to say, I guess so. I found Krishna and I forgot everything else. And he promised me that if I forget everything else, I don't have to worry. Yoga kshemam maham yaham. This is the power of Krishna. We can forget everything for God. It's difficult to forget everything. Sometimes people say that, my life is so problematic. I have so many tensions in life, so many difficulties, so many challenges, so many responsibilities, so many bills and relatives and families. I wish I could forget it all. But it's my destiny. It's my dharma. It's my destiny. It's my responsibility and my duty. And I suppose it's my love also. At least I'm bound and going in that direction. Sometimes people say it in exasperation or unhappiness, I wish I could forget it all. I feel so unhappy sometimes. But of course we can't forget it. Because our destiny, our maya, whatever, we have to remember and do our duty. But in some life, someone will contact Krishna in such a way that Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa, that Krishna will steal everything. And it'll actually, that's called liberation. Liberation means that you forget this world and remember Krishna. Ante Narayana Smriti. In the Veda and Upanishads, it doesn't say at the end, remember the material world. At the end, remember your family. At the end, remember your duties and material responsibilities. And at the end, remember your duties. It says, Ante Narayana Smriti. Ante means the end of our lives. When we're dying and about to leave this body and be reborn and take on a new body, then remember God. Krishna says the same thing in Gita. At the end, whatever you're remembering will determine where you'll end up in your next life. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyachit yanti kalevaram tam tam evaiti kontaya sada tad bhava bhavita. That bhav, that where is your heart when you die? Where your heart is where your mind is. And where your heart and mind is where your life is. And where your life is where your activity and action is. So your heart must be with God. Your mind must be fixed on God. And all your actions at the end must be fixed on God. like the final exam in the college. When you go to take your final exam, your heart has to be fixed there. Your mind has to be fixed there. Your senses have to be fixed there and attentive there so you can pass the test. Otherwise, you fail and repeat the course. So how do you have such focus, such attention at the final exam unless you've been practicing day by day, studying day by day, fixing your mind day by day, remembering the subject matter day by day, reviewing the subject matter? That's what sadhana bhakti is all about. That's what a life of sadhana, that's what a God-centered life is all about. Day by day, fix the mind on God, fix the heart in God, surrender the heart to God, work and act and perform duties for the pleasure and satisfaction of God. This is Krishna Upasanam, Radha Krishna Yugal Upasanam, Vishnu Upasanam, the worship of God. Worship of God is not at the end of life, Ante Narayan Smriti. That's the final exam. That's the Shrutis are saying, Ante Narayan, at the end, remember Narayan. Okay, when you sit down for your final exam, remember the answers. Remember the answers, otherwise you fail if you don't remember the answers. So at the end, Ante Narayan, remember Narayan at the end of human life, otherwise your jivan is nishfal. Jivan nishfal. Your life is fruitless, bekar, useless. So then, let's say faltu, without a fall, fruitless. Bekar means broken, it's also broken. So therefore, to be successful in that final exam, then everywhere the Vedas and Puran, Shruti and Smriti says, day by day, from morning to night, remember God. Do your duty and remember God. Take care of your family and serve God. This is told by, in Krishna Gita, tasmat sarveshu, sarveshu, tasmat sarveshu, sarveshu, kaleshu, mam, anusmara yudhicha. He's saying, Krishna's telling his student Arjuna, and he's telling all of us human beings, civilized, cultured human beings, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu. Sarvakal, at all times, Arjuna, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu, mam anusmara yudhicha. Mam anusmaran yudhicha. Yudhya means duty. Yudhya means dharma. Yudhya means duty, family responsibilities, my job, my work, my family, my relatives, my parivara. That's yudhya. In Arjuna's case, his varna karma, his activity, his duty as a kshatriya was to fight and defend his country, defend his relatives, and uphold religion. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Abhyutanam adharmasya tadattamanam shijamiham. But not only duty. People say, people you meet in India, I'm doing my karma. Yes, yes, Swamiji, I'm doing my karma. As we said earlier, if you're not doing dharma with your karma, you're doing harm. Dharma plus karma is good, but dharma plus karma is good. Karm bina dharm is bad, is harm. Harm is English, means it's deleterious, it's harmful, it's unbeneficial, and nishfal. Fal too. So Krishna is telling in Gita to Arjuna, do your karm, your varna karma, which is your varna dharma, but do sanatan dharma. There's dharm or karm, and there's sanatan dharm. Sanatan, sat, sanatan, eternal, non-ending dharma, which means bhakti. Bhakti dharma. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, archanam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atnam, atmanivedanam. Surrender to God, serve God, remember God. Mam anusmaran yudhyacha. So there what is Krishna's preaching to Arjuna, the same as I'm preaching. Dharm plus karm equals no harm. Equals all good. Do your karm as a kshatriya, as a baniya, as a computer operator, as a cameraman, as a designer, as a secretary. That's your karma. But do your dharma, sanatan dharma. Go to the mandir. Serve the Lord. Remember the Lord. Mam anusmaran. Krishna doesn't say only on Janmashtami. On Janmashtami, remember me. Janmashtami smaran, yudhyacha. He says, mam anusmaran. And Geet. Mam anusmaran. Mam means me, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Kulukshetra, Dwarkadish, Vrindavan Sri Krishna. And anusmaran, smaran means remembrance, recollection, absorption, thinking, practicing for your final exam. And anu, anu means bar, 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 bar. Anu means one after the other. Krama, succession, anusmaran. Remember me in the morning, in the evening, in the middle of the day, today and tomorrow. Anusmaran, always remember me and do your duty. Arjun, you're on the battlefield. Shoot your arrows. Defeat your opponents. Win the war for Dharma. Win the war for religion. Establish the Pandavas. Establish Yudhisthira as a samrat. And vanquish the Gnostics and the non-believer atheists that are harassing the earth. But remember me always. Shoot your arrows. Jai Sri Krishna. Jai Sri Krishna. Jai Sri Krishna. Now, like, oh, it's Janmashtami. Swaha, Jai Sri Krishna. Bas. This is not Krishna's teachings in Gita. Janmashtami is to celebrate that Krishna's Janamutsav, that Krishna's birthday. So this is the power of Krishna, that he can totally capture the mind so you always remember him. His leelas, sweet leelas, his funny leelas, his power leelas in Kurukshetra, his creation leelas. But the easiest thing, it's easy to taste sweets. We like sweets the most. And it's easy to remember sweet things. It's easy to eat sweets, and we remember sweets the most, and we love sweets the most. So Krishna's the sweetest, and Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is the sweetest. So it's easy to remember Krishna's sweet Vrindavan Leelas, Madhurya Leelas. And it's easy, and it's they're very tasty, like a sweet. And they're very easy to remember, like sweet memories and sweet actions. Remember, the husband says, hey, remember that time when we first met? Oh, that was a very sweet meeting. That was a very sweet time. Yes, but what happened? So many bitter times, so many salty times, so many pungent times, so many sour times we've had. No, no, don't speak so negatively, Pati. Prabhu, don't you know? We've had many sweet times. I'll tell you, remember we went on that vacation? Oh, yeah, that was sweet. Yes, that was sweet. Remember, okay, so many sweet memories. We say sweet memories. So Krishna in Vrindavan is sweet. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya, that great acharya, the Vallabha Sampradaya. He has a whole ashtakam, madhurashtakam. Madhurashtakam about Krishna Vrindavan. It's actually about Krishna everywhere. Shristi Madharam. He says, Shristi Madharam. Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madharam. Akilam Madhuram. Our Krishna, our Bhagavan Sri Krishna's Akila, everything, Akila, everything about Krishna's Madharam. Shristi Madharam. Pralaya Madharam, your creation is sweet, my dear Krishna. Your destruction is sweet, my... Leela Madhura, Yamuna Madhura, Vadanam Madharam, Venam Madharam, Vadanam Madharam, your face is very sweet. Venam, Venam Madharam, your Veno playing is very sweet. Gamanam, Gamanam, Gamanam Madharam. Gamanam means you're walking, your gait, you're walking. Gamanam Madharam, your walking is very sweet. Choram Madharam, Choram Madharam, your stealing is very sweet. Hasyam Madharam, Madharam Madharam, your smile is very sweet. Hasitam, Hasitam Madharam, your smile. Your laughing is very sweet. It's Krishna. Madhuradipate Rakilam Madhuram. Vallabhacharya, the great Acharya Vallabh. So sweet. This is Vrindavan. Madhurya Dham Vrindavan. Madhurya Purushottam Vrindavan. The sweetest form, the sweetest dealings, the sweetest love, the sweetest leelas, easy to digest, sweets, satisfying, sweets, the favorite preparation, sweets, and the easiest thing to remember, sweets. So fill the mind, fill the heart, fill the life, fill our lives with that sweet Bhagavan, that sweeter than sweet Madhuram Sri Krishna Vrindavan. And then you'll never forget Krishna. And at the end, Ante, Ante Madhuram Sham Bhagavan. Ante Madhuram Sham. Ante Narayana Smriti. Ante Sham Sundara Smriti. Ante Madhuram Bhagavan Smriti. We'll remember that sweet Bhagavan because it's easy to remember sweets and we like sweets. And it's easy to remember Krishna and we like Krishna. And it's easy to remember sweet memories and sweet pastimes. And Krishna has the sweetest pastimes and the sweetest memories. Madhurya Purushottam Krishna.